husband and I were lying in bed the other night telling jokes to each other, which is what you do when you've been married 28 years. And it's funny how sometimes it's the old jokes that just still make you laugh. And we were telling the old one, which I think I probably learned at about age 6, which is time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana. Fruit flies. Yeah. I've been laughing at that since about age 6, so I don't think at age 6 I really got the kind of clever wittiness of it. But what we were really talking about, of course, we'd been sitting there saying, time flies, time flies. And there's certain points, isn't there, where it suddenly hits us again how much that time is moving on. And the reason we were doing that was because it was my baby's 25th birthday. And in fact, yesterday I was over at the Journey congregation, and they are just moving into their spate of new babies, which is going to come to the Slough congregation. Yeah. Both naturally and spiritually, I declare over you, a time of new babies is coming. But I saw this tiny little scrap yesterday, this little baby, and I looked at my pictures of my 25-year-old strapping, rugby-playing son, and I thought, time flies. Time flies. It doesn't seem like a second since he was that tiny little scrap and I was worrying over him. Another thing that we were thinking about this weekend is I'm actually going to my uncle's funeral tomorrow. And my uncle died aged 95, loving the Lord. And he was taken to hospital one evening and he died early the next morning. That was the only time he had ever been in hospital in 95 years of his life. And so... Well, I'll declare that over this congregation as well. Why not? Let's take that. That was his testimony of God's goodness. But there are pointers, aren't there, for us that just say, yes, time is passing. And we've just been on holiday to California, had a wonderful 2 weeks there, and went to Corrie's graduation and my son's graduation from Bethel second year. But on our visit there, we went to see the sequoia redwood trees, which are these amazing ancient trees. And we were seeing living trees that were 1,800 years old and still living. I mean, just think, a living being that has been living for 1,800 years. I mean, that is phenomenal. And some of these trees have obviously fallen in, you know, storms and fires and things. And they'd cut through the trees. And, you know, when you cut through, you can see all the rings of growth. And it was fascinating looking at these old trees. What was even fascinating was the Americans actually dated the circles by things like the Battle of Hastings. So I thought, yes, come on. They're still dating by their British inheritance, or the Americans. And you could just see these rings of growth. And some rings were quite thick and some were very small. And you thought, I wonder what happened in that year. Wonder what happened that is reflected in the size and the strength of that final tree. And so here we are at a change of seasons for the Slough congregation. And this is a time of looking at time changing, isn't it? And looking back over this last year and saying, Lord, what is in that ring of growth that has gone on in the Slough congregation? And I just am so excited because I see so much that this actually has been a year where that ring is very wide, where God has done amazing things. So this morning when I was just sort of asking the Lord what I could bring to you, there were two scriptures that came to mind that I just really want to share with you as a congregation in this sort of change of season. One, I think, is probably one I've talked to you about before, because it's the scripture that I just am loving at the moment. And that is from 1 John 3, verse 1. And it is, see how much love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And what I really notice about that is you start off with see. And it is a directing of our eyes. It's a noticing. What has the Father done in this last season? What has he done in this year? It's a look up, it's notice, it's fix your eyes on his love and the abundance of how much his love has been poured out, lavished, this incredible generosity and abundance. And when I see what has been happening for you guys, what I sense is a huge sense of family he has been growing in this last year, where he has come as Father amongst you. And Slough Congregation has always been in the Father's house. But we know in the Father's house there are many rooms. And I just feel the Lord has got you out of the kind of porch. You know, you've not just come in through the front door. Oh, this is it. We're in the Father's house. This is what it is. It's this little sort of area. But actually in this last year, the Father has just been flinging open his doors of his house and saying, come and explore, family, because you are a family in my house. And obviously we celebrate the addition of this wonderful family, the Moodies, into our midst. But we also celebrate a deepening of relationships with one another and a deepening of commitment to one another. And we celebrate that we here are creating a home where people who have maybe been lost from the family for a while because of all kinds of reasons why that may have happened, that they come back and they find the door is flung open and there is laughter and joy and a warm welcome of abundance in this place. And that is what I am seeing is happening and has happened over this last year. And I think that is a really, really important foundation, because that is who you are. You are a big house, which is the Father's house, which is filled with joy and provision and goodness and love and care, with wide open doors. And not only wide open doors, but wide open windows, so that people who pass by can hear the goodness and want to come and join you. Looking at that scripture again, see how much love the Father has lavished on us. And how much love. It's how much. How much. It is so generous. It's not just quantity and quality, it is absolute abundance of love that is here in the Father's house for us to grow in and know more and more and experience with this sense of intimacy we're getting with Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's like Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are already a family, aren't they, within themselves? And they just open their hearts for us to come in and join in their family. That's where it all comes from. And it's not any old father whose house this is. It is the Father. And for those of us who've had fathering experiences which have not been helpful, that have maybe been difficult, it is now time. You can put that aside. You don't need to carry that any longer, because here is a Father who is like the best Father. He is the Father of all fathers. He is a good, good Father. And this is a time where we can lay aside maybe any difficulties we have had in receiving the Father's love and receive it afresh from him. We are no longer orphans, but we are part of this amazing family under God. He has lavished. See how much love the Father has lavished. It's done. It's done. It's already been done. We can't earn it. It's already been done. It's a done deal. He's going to love you whatever. He's going to lavish it all over you whatever. He can't help lavishing on you, because that's who he is. That's who he is. And he's lavished it on us individually, hasn't he? He is lavishing his love on us as individuals. But it says, see how much the Father has lavished on us. And I just sense how much the Father is lavishing his love on you all as a congregation. That you all together create this amazing community that carries the Father's love. It's not just something you experience at home alone, although that is obviously really important. But when you come together, there is a lavishing of love on you as a community, which thrills the Father's heart. Why? Because you are creating his home here on earth. Matthew 7 says, Is there a man among you who would offer his son a stone if he asks for bread, or a snake if he asks for fish? How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Or one of the Gospels says, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit, good things, this abundance? As children of the Father, we have this right to enter the Father's house, and we have the right to raid his fridge. We don't have to go in. If we're needing food, if we're needing provision, we have a right as sons and daughters of God to go in and raid the fridge. Now, my youngest son, Ed, who's 21, he's now actually at university, and he's just had his first year living in a student flat. And when he came home for the holiday, he came home and he flung open the fridge and he went, "Food! There's lots of food in the fridge!" Because obviously as a student, he was on, you know, a tin of beans, you know, if you were lucky. But he knew that he had a right to go in and eat that food, which actually reminds me of actually a few years ago when he was in his late teens. I'd bought a packet of 6 chicken breasts or something like that for dinner, and it was in the fridge. I came home at the end of the day to find that my teenage son had stir-fried up all 6 chicken breasts, chopped up a whole iceberg lettuce, the whole packet of croutons, a whole bottle of Caesar salad, and a great big slab of cheese in a great big salad bowl. He had made him the most wonderful Caesar salad and eaten the lot for his snack lunch. And anyone who's had teenage boys will know exactly what I'm talking about. And shall we say that a few words were had about how much this cost his mother, and maybe a boiled egg and a piece of toast would have done. But he felt he had a right, because this was part of the provision that I had laid out in the fridge for him to have access to. And so that's just an illustration of, I think, what is in the Father's heart for us. He has laid out this fantastic abundance. And how much more will your Father in heaven, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, and to be honest, it made me laugh about the chicken breast, really. How much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And it's knowing who we are as sons and daughters and the right we have. We are told we can boldly approach the throne of grace without any condemnation, without any fear, to ask and receive help in our time of need. We don't need to be overawed by God on his throne, because we're his kids. We don't have to hold back and ask for permission to approach him. We can run in and throw ourselves into his arms and climb on his knees and tell him what we need. And he is longing to pour it out on us. The thing about being a child is that it is obvious. When we are adopted into the family of God, it is seen by those around us. And part of that verse I said, see how much love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that calling is, we actually bear the family name. We bear the family name. But that we are called the children of God sort of rather intimates that people out there can actually see that we belong to the family. And I always find it very amusing to see people with their either with their parents or with their children, and you see the family resemblance coming through, and you look at them and go, ah. In fact, my son Pete out in Bethel, he said, "I'm really looking forward to my roommates meeting you and Dad, because suddenly it'll make sense to them of who I am." I'm not sure if that was a good thing or not. One sense they were going to look at me and Robin and go, ah, that explains it. But you know what fun it is where you see a child and they've got the nose, haven't they? The family nose is evident, or the look around the eyes. And it's not because they have strained or tried. I must be really, really like my dad. I really love his nose. I really have to try so hard to develop a nose like my dad's nose. No, it happens by... I think there's a nose thing going on in the front row here. I'm sorry if the Lord has just revealed this to me as an issue in the Moody household. You do. Different bloodline. We don't need to struggle and strive to be like our dad, because we are born again of imperishable seed. We have his DNA in us, which means we don't need to struggle and strive to be like him. It just happens. It happens because he has put his image in us, his DNA in us. So I just want to break off you any striving that you may feel, that to try and be like God, to try and be like Jesus. And I just want to release that from you and say, just realize that his DNA is in you. It's who you are. You are created to be like him. Chill out and let your noses grow. You know, inheritance from is something that's unearned, isn't it? It's something that is passed on, maybe from generation to generation, is our inheritance. But, you know, sometimes, especially maybe in our culture, there is something about a self-made man that we respect, isn't there? And we maybe talk about it, you know, he had absolutely nothing and he's worked hard and he's come up from there to this, you know, he's done really well. He's a self-made man. And that is fantastic, isn't it? And we celebrate the favour on somebody's life and somebody's dedication and work to get to that point. But sometimes by doing that, we can almost devalue inheritance. And we can go, oh, it's all right for them. You know, they've got loads of money and doing well, but they just had it handed to them by their parents. They've not worked for it. And we can devalue unearned inheritance. And I think we have to be really careful in our spiritual walk that we don't devalue our unearned inheritance from God. Because as parents, you in a sense, the inheritance is saying, you know, my son, my daughter, this is what I hand on to you. This is how far I have come. Now you build on that. You build on what I give you and you take it further. You go higher, you go deeper, you go longer than I have known. And that is the point of an inheritance, isn't it? It's so that you can give your children the ability to go further and longer than you've gone. And so it is with the Lord, is that... because our inheritance from him as children is unearned, we need to really value that and say, thank you for my inheritance. I receive it all because this equips me to fulfill the call and the destiny on my life more than before and more than without it. And I think that is something for you as a Slough congregation. There is a huge spiritual inheritance that has been given to you in Slough. There is the decades and generations who have called on the Lord in that place, the words of promise that have been given over Slough, the call that you have as a congregation to build this multicultural sort of all nations church, which is going to impact that community and change Slough from being a word of the Slough of Despond to everyone wants to get to Slough because it is one of the most greatest places of life-giving hope for people that there can be. And there are some amazing inheritance words of promise that have been spoken over you as a congregation. And I would just say, because you have not earned it, in a sense, by your kind of, well, we've worked it, be prepared to take that unearned inheritance and say, I'm not going to start building from down there. I'm actually going to start building from here, which are the promises of God and the prophetic words that you have been given. That is the floor that you can start building from. You see, Galatians 4:7 says, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And I believe that this is the new season that you're coming into, to take up your authority to fulfill your calling that is on Slough. And do you know, there is something about being in the Father's house and being in close, intimate relationship with the Father that means you, the more you gaze upon the Father, the more you sense and feel his heart, the more you sense and feel the passions that are going on inside him. And there is a place to be a child where you just run into his arms and you have no cares in the world and he carries it all. But as maturing and growing sons, he then gives to us the authority and the responsibility to carry the mission of God with him. Just recently, my husband and my son, I can tell all these stories because they're not here, you see, so I can get away with it. They've just run the London Marathon. So, and my husband has run quite a number of marathons over the years, but it has always been the desire of his heart that he would run it with his sons. And Pete, my eldest, he once came to me and he said, Mum, would Dad be really disappointed if I don't run a marathon with him? And I said, no, of course not. You know, because it's not putting pressure on our children to be who we are. And Pete, actually, I said, maybe you and I will run it together in a camel costume or something and take a couple of weeks over it. And actually, he has recently said, maybe I will do it one day, though I think probably cycling Land's End to John O'Groats is more his desire. But our younger son, Ed, he is a bit of a runner. And so this year was the first year that Ed was going to run with Robin. And so Robin was really excited about this because, honestly, this has been his heart's desire for 20 years, that one day he would share what was his passion and his achievement and that he would run it with his son. And sadly, Robin sprained his ankle about 8 weeks before the race and it took out a whole lot of his training. But he's as stubborn as a mule and he was going to do it. Even if he had a broken leg, he'd have done it. Because he wanted to do it with his son. This was this fulfillment of this dream. I want to do it with my son. Whatever state I'm in, I'm going to run it. And, I mean, this is just our little family story, but it was just really lovely. I went and watched him at four different points on the track. And because of Robin's injury, he was a lot slower than he would normally be, and he had to walk at times. But Ed said, I'm going to stay with you, Dad, because we're going to do this together. And so Ed slowed himself down because he wanted to fulfill what was in his father's heart, that they would do it together. And it was a real joy to me at the end to hear them talking to each other, because there was Robin saying, I couldn't have done it without Ed. I'd have given up. But with Ed by my side, I kept going to the end. And there was Ed saying, I just really respect Dad because he was in a lot of pain. But I saw him really push through and persevere to the end. And I really respect him. Of course, at the end, Robin was like a bit tired, and so he was lying on the ground, whereas the 21-year-old was, you know, sort of still full of energy and leaping around all over the place. And we looked at Ed and we thought, yeah, we know you can do it faster, but you now have your whole life to go for the timing. What was important on this occasion was that you wanted to fulfill the desire of your father's heart. And then Robin is saying, next year and the year after, you run on, son. You run on. You run fast as you can and fulfill all that you are. And so it was a really special family time, but it just really spoke to me about how when we're in this close relationship of being lavished with love by the Father, we catch the passion and the heart of our Father for the world. And we realise that his heart is full for seeing salvation, for bringing heaven to earth, for seeing breakthrough, for seeing the poor and the sick and the tired and the depressed and the disappointed being brought into his house where he can love on them and restore them. And the closer we are to the Father, our heart starts burning with what he is carrying, so that we are no longer little children, tossed around, whatever, insecure, afraid, but we start to take up our position as sons, carrying the authority of the Father. Because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, we have been given authority to destroy the works of the evil one, which is why Jesus came. That is the heart of the Father, that all of this destruction that the enemy has caused in this world should be turned around by this amazing, lavishing love of the Father, and that it will be done through us. So we're going to be about where Jesus, you know, when he was in the temple and his parents were looking for him and said, why? He said, where are you? He said, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? I'd be about my Father's business. And that was the thing. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. And in the same way, as we allow his love to lavish us, as we begin to find our heart expanding with his passions and his desires, we find that we want to run with the Father. And he wants to run with us. He doesn't want to do it on his own. He wants to co-create with us, co-work with us, co-labor with us. He actually wants us alongside him in this great big story of salvation that he is bringing to the world. And so that's what I feel is happening for the Slough congregation. Don't lose this wonderful sense of family, because it is the sense of family and the Father's love amongst you which is what is going to bring salvation to the world. However big you get, when you are 1,000, 2,000 people, you are just going to be a really, really big family with a very large number of very large cookies with the coffee. But you are still going to be a family, not an organisation, because what the world is crying out for is the Father's house. And this next season is one where you can lift your heads up and you can say, we are no longer small children tossed around. We are actually coming into our inheritance and our destiny and our calling of what God wants us to do. Have I got another 5 minutes? Is that all right? Just this, the second verse that I wanted to bring to you. I love coming here because, to be honest, I don't get the ticking clock like I sometimes need. The second verse I want to bring to you is, in a sense, the how, just a little bit of how that underlines this. And it's Isaiah 30, verse 15, and it says, in quietness and confidence will be my strength. And I think this is really important, because big tasks, lot to do, lots of activity. There's going to be some hard work to come to fulfill the vision. You know, you don't run the marathon without doing some work of preparation and actually running it. But because of this unearned love of the Father, our souls can be quiet and still. In quietness and confidence will be my strength. So I just again want to just pray that, release it over you, that it's not something you need to strive after in a way that drains the living daylights out of you. That there is a stillness of soul that you can work from. Because there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God that we enter into and that we live from. The work has been accomplished on the cross. We don't need to strive to earn it. And we have confidence. In quietness and confidence will be my strength. And our confidence comes from knowing the Father and who he is. Jeremiah says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So there is, when you're confident, you can be at rest in your souls. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes when we're not confident, we then have chaos in our souls, and our confidence is set on Christ. And so going into this new season, that is the basis. And you know, quietness and confidence in God results in strength. And this is the strength that you will receive for this next season. It's not for show. It's not, oh, look how strong I am. It's not one of those blow-up sumo wrestler suits that people put on at the, you know, the fun days and things at school that actually looks strong but is actually full of hot air. This is real strength, and it's real strength for purpose. Because we are overcomers, we are more than conquerors, and greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. And we have been given faith to move mountains. And when it's hard, when we're not sure what's happening, when we kind of think, did God say? Because I don't see it. On those occasions, this is where we place our confidence, in the Father's house. We stay in the Father's house. We stay in relationship of encouragement and love with each other. We stay in that relationship of being lavished by the love of God. And in quietness and confidence in his love, we will find the strength arise in us to fulfill that calling that he has put on us. Amen.